today on Living on Every Word.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The spirit of this psalm, the principles of this psalm, are very principles that you can use to confront your greatest fear, principles that I promise you will chase fear away.
Are you facing health fears, financial fears, fears of being alone? What are your greatest fears? Well, today Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us how David overcame his fears and how you can too. In this study of Psalm 27, Finding Fearless Trust.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Continue our study through the Psalms. I look at this Psalm and I'm amazed at it. One of my favorites is the one that I turn to often because it's the one that speaks to my need. It speaks to the propensity and to my weakness. One of my weaknesses that this speaks to is my propensity to worry, to fear, and to walk in anxiety. And we all do it. I mean, we're fearful about a lot of things. We fear about our future. We fear about our jobs. We worry about finances and about paying the bills and oftentimes getting in trouble with our bills and the things that we do. There are folks that fear death. They fear getting sick. When something comes up in their body that's unusual, fear starts to grip them. I'm going to tell you, it is a common thing in all of our lives to be tempted to walk in fear, worry, and anxiety and stress. And I want to tell you this just as one who has that kind of propensity. When you look at this psalm, the spirit of this psalm can be used to confront your greatest fears. Even when you're in the middle of something that is so hard and so difficult, the principles in this psalm have the possibility to chase the fear away. Notice verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Notice. He says, listen, I've got this God, He's in my life, and because He's in my life, what is there in this life to walk in fear and dread of? And I'm going to tell you, we can look at a lot of things happening in the world today, and we can start getting fearful. How many of you got fearful in 1999 when Y2K was coming? All this fear and all this worry and all this anxiety about something that was going to come because of a computer meltdown. And I'm going to tell you, there are folks who spent a fortune getting ready for something that did not happen. There are folks around that just fear the tribulation, fear great tribulation and persecution. And I mean, we can hear all kinds of voices and walk in fear and dread. And my Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom or what shall I fear? Or why shall I even spend one moment of my life fearing or dreading about something that probably will not happen in my lifetime? And you can look at that and look past all the things of your life and realize all the time, all the energy that you vested in walking in fear, worry, anxiety, and stress, and how all those things just fell in place for you. And you're not worrying about the things you were worrying about last. Matter of fact, you don't even remember what you were worrying and fearing about last year. I mean, there's a whole new set of stuff that's right at your face that you're just walking in fear of. And David says, listen, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? No fear, no dread. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled, they fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. The spirit of this psalm, the principles of this psalm, the actions that David decides in his mind, in his heart, are very principles that you can use to confront your greatest fear, principles that I promise you will chase fear away. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Fear brings a snare. It causes you and I to miss out on what God is doing. There's a lot of things that come up that would cause us to walk in fear, to walk in anxiety, to walk in stress, and then miss God. Fear will cause us to miss God. Listen, fear brings a snare. In Scripture, we find in Gideon's day, thousands of men missed the spoils of war because of fear. When Gideon gathered the army to go against Midian, he asked, "If you're afraid, you need to leave." And they were afraid. About thousands of men got up there. "I'm afraid. I don't want to go in this war." And they left. And you know what? They missed out on the victory. They missed out on the spoils of war. Isaiah tells us, because of fear, we'll forget God. Peter's fear caused him to deny Christ. The children of Israel feared the inhabitants of the promised land, and as a result, missed the abundant life and fell in the wilderness for 40 years, died in the wilderness. Fear destroys faith. It's contagious. It spreads. Fear brings a snare. Fear and worry cause you to miss God. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will destroy your faith, and it's contagious, and it'll spread to your family. It'll spread to your children. It'll spread throughout the church. We must be a people of courage. Fearless trust in God. You're to walk in a fearless trust and courage to believe that God is going to bring you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. What is fear? Where does it come from? First of all, fear is the presumption and threat of loss. It's the presumption and threat of loss. I look out and I perceive that I'm about to lose something, or I might lose something, or one day if I don't do everything right, I'm going to lose something, okay? And it may be the death of a child. I mean, there are people who grow up fearful they're going to lose their children. It may be a fear of a health issue. It may be a fear of a financial issue. There's people who fear losing everything. I have a friend that is in agriculture, and every time he plants, he fears that it's not going to come up. It always comes up. Anxiety. This presumption of loss. You know, when Job lost wealth, children, and health, Job said, "What I fear has come upon me, and what I have dread has befallen me." Isn't that interesting? I mean, in that moment, when he loses everything and he does worship God, but he makes the statement, "The very things that I feared and dread, they're here." They're here. Job presumed loss long before he lost. You know, I look at that passage of Scripture and I think, the enemy knew exactly where to attack him. Knew what his fears were. His fears were losing his children, losing his wealth, losing his health. Those were the three issues. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever walked in those kind of fears? That our children might die. That we might lose something. Of health issues and walking in fear and worry and anxiety over that. And Job says, listen, that which I have feared has come upon me. The enemy, as well as God, knows what your fears are. Where do you think he attacks you? In the very things that you fear. What I have feared has come upon me, and what I dread befalls me. Now, I like the way the NASB says it, because it says, "What I fear comes upon me." That's kind of a statement. It's kind of a principle. Quit fearing so it don't befall you. Quit worrying so it doesn't happen. Quit worrying and quit walking in fear, because he says, "What I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." Interesting principle. Interesting thought. And you ask, well, you're going to tell us how to get rid of fear? This psalm will tell you how to get rid of fear. It'll tell you how to do just that. The disciples in Mark chapter 4, when they're going across the Sea of Galilee and the storm comes up, and the Bible says in verse 38 that Jesus is asleep on the cushion, and they're awakening him and they're saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus gets up and calms the sea and says, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so timid, O men of little faith?" We're afraid because we presume that this circumstance is going to kill us and destroy us. That's why we're afraid. When I think about the presumption of loss, I think about the unfaithful steward's fear in Matthew 25, 24. He had a fear of failure, given a gift, given a talent. And the scripture says that he received that talent and he came up and he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, so I hid the talent in the ground. Here is your talent. Here's what belongs to you. Master said, you wicked, lazy slave. Took it away from him, gave it to somebody else. All because of fear of loss. Listen, we have a God that is a multiplying God. A God who causes increase in our lives. And listen, we don't have to be afraid of decrease. We don't have to be afraid of the measure going out of our lives. Listen, God is a God who provides for you. God is the God who does His work in you. God is the God who will see you through whatever He's called you to. And whatever He's called you through. And you know, I just believe with all my heart that you and I can face these fears, these worries, these anxieties. I think that when you look at this psalm, you see how David did it. And the first thing that I want to show to you in the scripture is that first, David knew his God and knew who God was in his life. And that's the principle. Know God. Know who He is. Know what He's about in your life. Notice what he says in Psalm 27:1. Here's the Lord. He's my light and my salvation. He's the defense of my life. Therefore, I don't fear. That's who God is in my life. That is a faith issue. If He is your light, there is no darkness, so you don't fear the dark. If He's the defense of your life, that means that He is a very faithful and trustworthy defense in your life, and He's going to be the wall, and He's going to be the shield, and He's going to be the refuge that you need to walk through any problem or any struggle. If He is the defense of your life, if He is your salvation, that means that no one can snatch you out of that hand because He is your deliverer and He is your salvation. And there's something else about knowing God that I believe that David knew. David knew his destiny. He knew where he was headed and he knew God's purposes for his life. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. He died. After he did what? After he served his purpose. David understood the purpose of God in his life. Realized it as a child, as a teenager. I get this idea about this young boy David walking to the Philistine. I mean, this guy had no fear of the giant. Why? Because he knew his destiny. He knew the purposes of God in his life. We find his call and his anointing in 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want you to turn there with me if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You know the story. Samuel has gone to Bethlehem. There is a son of Jesse that is going to be the new king. God has rejected Saul. He is raising up another man. And this man is a son of Jesse, his David. And Samuel goes to Jesse's house. And he's got his oil flask. He's going to anoint this new king. And Jesse has these several sons, and the scripture says in verse 6, when they entered, he looked at Eliab, and he thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, you don't look at his appearance, or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him, for God sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And verse 9, next Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? He said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he's tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. Isn't that interesting? David, not David. That's in Jesse's mind. He's out there. We'll call him in. I got seven sons right here that are strong, strapping men. He's nothing but a teenager and just some little guy over there. Surely he can't be king. Go get him. A man judges by the appearance. God judges the heart. So he brought him in. He was ruddy with beautiful eyes, handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Wow. David knew his destiny. David knew the purpose God called him to. Here's a 16, 17, or 18-year-old boy. He's called from the sheepfolds. He doesn't know what's going on. He comes in and he sees the prophet of God, and God takes that oil and anoints him as the next king of Israel. He knows where he's headed. He knows his destiny. He knows his purpose, and that purpose will not be thwarted. And the day that he dies, he will have fulfilled that purpose. You want to overcome fear? Know God and know your purpose. If you know you've got a call on your life, and every one of us does, and you may not know what my purpose is today, but I want to tell you, you have a purpose to glorify God and to have the confidence when that's done, when you're finished doing what God's called you to do, then it'll be time for you to die. And when it's time for you to die, or it's time for you to go to do something else, I want to tell you, you'll have the peace of God all over you. You'll know it's been done. You'll know it's been accomplished. Know your destiny. Know your purpose. Paul said it this way in Acts chapter 13 in a message he was preaching. He said, after he had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. You know, that's what God's looking for. People after God's own heart, who will do all of what God asked them to do. Let me ask you a question, church. Who do you have a heart after? If you look at Saul, he had a heart after himself, his own flesh. He thought more of himself than he thought of God. Therefore, he followed the desires of his flesh. He was obedient not to the will of God, but to the will of Saul. What Saul thought he was supposed to do, how Saul thought he was supposed to live. Saul was a man pleaser. That's just the bottom line, not a God pleaser. Saul lived after his flesh, folks. He lived after his flesh. And he walked in fear. He walked in anxiety. And he walked in stress. I mean, he was the man who should have faced Goliath. He was the man who should have gone before the armies because of knowing the purpose of God in his life. And I tell you, this is key. If you don't have God, if you don't know who He is, then you don't have Him as your light. He is not your salvation. He is not the defense of your life. And you have a whole lot to fear. You have a whole lot to be worried about. But if He's your God, this is who He is in your life. Know who God is. Know the purpose of God in your life. Seek it. Look for it. God says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Listen, when you get the Spirit of God, you get the same Spirit that came mightily upon David. This Spirit comes into your life so that you might have a heart after God to do all that God's calling you to. It's this heart of David. David knows the purposes of God in his life. He knows who God is. He knows what God's called him to. I want to ask you, do you know the purposes of God today? Do you know your destiny today? Are you walking after the heart of God? Are you walking after the purposes of God to glorify Him and to move through life doing what God has called you to do? That's the first thing. Know God. Know His purposes. The second thing that I want to suggest to you in Psalm 27, and if you'd go back to that psalm, notice, second thing. Always, always recall the past victories of your life. Count your blessings. Recall past victories. Notice what he says in 2. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. In other words, when he's writing this psalm, he's in a tight spot. We're not sure what that tight spot is, but he knows who God is. He knows his destiny. He knows his purpose. And he looks back and he sees all the ways that God has delivered him and has noticed how the enemy has fallen. And folks, you got to do that today. You've got to look back and look at how faithful God has been in your life and to you. Because He has been. A wonderful psalm, Psalm 118. Go on and turn to that. Verse 5. 118, verse 5. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Past victory. Past victory. I'm distressed. And the Lord answered me, set me in a large place. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is for me. I'll not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. I was surrounded in the name of the Lord. I'll surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me in the name. I'll surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished, past tense, as fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I'll surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength, my song, and He has become my salvation. Amen. I look at all the victories that God has brought me through. All the deserts, all the storms, all the rivers, all the fires that God has brought me to this place. And how He has spared me and how He has delivered me. Recall past victories. The third thing you do, verse 4, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek. One thing. Seek the one thing, and that is that you would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, so that you may behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Why? Because if you'll seek the presence of the Lord in the day of trouble, He's going to conceal you in that presence. He's going to conceal you in the secret place of His tent, according to verse 5. And He's going to lift you upon the rock. And your head will be lifted above your enemies around you, and you'll offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. You'll sing, yes, you'll sing praises to God. You seek God first. It's one of the number one principles of the Christian life. I get my eyes off the circumstances, off the trial, off the presumption of loss, and I put my eyes on God, and I seek Him, and I ask, and I continue to knock, according to Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. I'm going to seek God and keep seeking Him first, first and foremost. What's the one thing that you seek today? I'm going to tell you, if it's not God, it's the reason why your stomach's a mess. It's the reason why you walk in fear and anxiety. He chose the one thing, and that was God Himself. Seek the one thing. The one thing is not relief. The one thing is not relief from your suffering. The one thing is not relief from your financial difficulty. The one thing is not the relief in your marriage. The one thing is not those things. The one thing is God. One thing I seek in the midst of all this trouble is God. Why? Because in God there is relief. In God there is parole. In God there is forgiveness. In God there is joy. But if I don't seek Him first, I'll never get those. I seek God first, and everything else comes right in line. Everything else comes right in line. When you're fearful, when you're worried, when you're stressed, you seek Him first. The fourth thing, focus your direction and trust upon the Lord. He seeks the presence of God, and his focus is on the direction and trust of God. Look what he says in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, I'm going to seek your face. I'm just going to do that. And do not hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away from anger. You've been my help. And do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Notice, teach me your way. I want to know the way of God. I want to know the level path because of my foes. And please do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they're breathing out violence. Look at verse 13, please. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want to ask you, have you allowed the fear of man, the fear of death, the presumption or the threat of loss to hold you back to what God's called you to do and how to live? There's some of you today, you have great businesses because you did not walk in fear. You did not let fear paralyze you. You faced it and you moved on in your business and God's blessed it. But I'm going to tell you, if you were to look back and say, if I'd have feared and I'd not done what I had done in that business, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I know that's true for so many of us in here today. If I'd have feared the next call, if I'd have feared the next responsibility, if I'd have feared these things, I'd have been paralyzed and I never would have grown. I never would have seen the successes that God's blessed us with. And I want to tell you this, if you'll see this in your own life, in your own pilgrimage with God, you're going to see the same thing. What are you afraid of? The Lord is your salvation. The Lord is your light. The Lord is the defense of your life. Whom shall you dread? There's nothing to dread. There's nothing to fear. God is God. He's Lord. He's called you to something. Called you something very specific. And when those purposes are done, then you get to go fall asleep and go be with Jesus, which is a whole lot better than it is right here. But you do. You do have purposes to keep. Promises to keep. And we ought to take great confidence in that. And to be like our brother David, who would rush headlong into war. And I want to tell you, there is a war raging today. There's a war raging for marriages. There's a war raging for children and our youth. There's war raging all around us. And the question is will there be valiant and courageous men and women that will rise up and go headlong into the battle? Lay down your fear of saying the wrong thing. Lay down your fear of losing something as a result. Losing reputation. Losing friendships. Listen, God didn't say it's going to be easy. But He did say it'd be joyful. And it's a joyful thing to follow hard after God's heart. What's holding you back today to accomplishing all of God's will for your life? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we'd be bold enough to lay down our fears, our worries, our stresses, our anxieties, and put our face right on You, believing that who You are and what You called us to do. To believe, Father, that You have wrought wonders in our lives before and that You'll continue to do so. That, Father, that we are to seek You with all of our heart, to seek You first, the one thing, to seek after God, not the ministry, not the mission, not the responsibility, not the relief, but to seek God and God alone. Would we be truly a people that center our direction and all our trust in God? Fearless trust. Oh God, I know that it may continue to hurt. And I don't tell you, God, I'm glad. Sometimes I'm thankful that, Father, for me, I continue to hurt so I can get it right. But I'll trust You and believe You. Thank You, Father. Now, Lord, I know that there are folks that You're just so ready to touch. You're ready to move forward. And I just ask that, Father, that we'd let You do that today. We'd let the shepherd come and guide us on the level path. Thank You, Father. Come, Lord. May we make the proper and appropriate choices in this moment to cast down our fears and our worries and to have fearless trust in You.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org. Living on